आधमाथवा कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारे गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदन भज जानरंजन यशोदानंदन भज जानरंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस सफरयुगाचार्य अष्टोदर सत्य डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसे भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 5 तद्गच्छ ध्रुवं भद्रं ते भगवन्तं अदोक्षजां सर्वभूतात्मभावेन सर्वभूतात्मविग्रहं तद्गच्छ ध्रुवं भद्रं ते भगवन्तं अधोक्षजम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन सर्वभूतात्मविग्रहम् तद्गच्छ ध्रुवं भद्रं ते भगवन्तं अधोक्षजम् सर्वभूतात्मभावेन सर्वभूतात्मविग्रहम् Matajis. Tad, therefore, gacha, come, dhruva, Dhruva, Bhadram, good fortune, Te, unto, Bhagavantam, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adokshajam, one is beyond the concept of material senses, Sarvabhuta, all living entities, Atma Bhavena, by thinking of them as one, Sarvabhuta in all living entities, Atma, the super soul, Vigraham, having form. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Dhruva, come forward. May the Lord always grace you with good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond our sensory perception, is super soul of all living entities, and thus all living entities are one, without distinction. Begin therefore to render service unto the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Purport. Here the word Vigraham having specific form is very significant, for it indicates that the absolute truth is ultimately the personality of Godhead. This is explained in the Brahma Sahita Sachidananda Vigraha. He has form, but his form is different from any kind of material form. The living entities are the marginal energies of the Supreme Form. As such, they are not different from the Supreme Form. But at the same time, they are not equal to the Supreme Form. Dhruva Maharaj is advised herewith to render service unto the Supreme Form. That will include service to other living forms. For example, a tree has a form, and when the water is poured on the root of the tree, other forms, the leaves, twigs, flowers and fruits are automatically watered. The Mayavadi conception that because the absolute truth is everything, he must be formless, is rejected here. Rather, it is confirmed that the absolute truth has a form, and yet he is all pervading. Nothing is independent of him. Om Akyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Brasha Krupa Sindhu Pevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading the chapter Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. And these verses that we are reading nowadays is spoken by Kuvera to Dhruva Maharaj. Kuvera, being pleased by the good behavior of Dhruva Maharaj, is actually bestowing his blessings upon Dhruva Maharaj. So this is very essential for us to understand that when we have a good conduct, good behavior, if we have done some mistake and rectified that mistake, that will please the seniors, in the sense the blessings can be bestowed by Lord Krishna, can be bestowed by Vaishnavas, can be bestowed by demigods and sages. And the success comes when we have a blessings of divine personalities. That's how we have seen Sanat in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami first goes to Radha Madan Mohan temple and seeks the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, seeks the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he is blessed by all of them, then he begins the narration of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So similarly, we see when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with their extremely good conduct, with their behavior, they could invoke the blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's how they were given the task of excavating pastimes of Krishna's pastimes, then establishing temples, then writing the literature and spreading good Vaishnava conduct. So here the episode of Dhruva Maharaj gives a great hope to conditioned souls. Because here we see in the beginning of this pastimes itself, Dhruva Maharaj was suffering from anger when he was a child of 5 years old. And he wanted a kingdom greater than his father because he was insulted by his stepmother. But his good fortune was that his mother guided him to a proper direction. She gave that he must please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and only Supreme Personality of Godhead can bestow such a benedictions upon him. And because of that, in spite of having a material desire, he went to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna was pleased by his devotional act, and then eventually he was ashamed of his material desires. So the conditioned soul, how it gives a hope that even if we are full of material desires, even if we commit some mistake, still we should never leave the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And we should always go to Lord Krishna, and he will rectify the situation. Just like Dhruva Maharaj approaching the Lord was full of material desires. But since he went to the right place, he could get rid of all his material desires. So similarly, we see in Krishna Leela, there is a story of Kubja. She was also full of lust, but her good fortune was she could directly approach the Supreme Lord. And then Supreme Lord will still reciprocate, even if Jiva has material desires and his conduct may not be the highest pure devotional service, but Lord is so kind and so reciprocative that no matter what material desire a living entity has, he will reciprocate and he will elevate him and eventually bestow his causeless mercy upon him. So this is what we see, that we should be always assured that Supreme Lord, being the Supreme Father, he will always take good care of us. No matter what conditioning we are coming from, no matter what material desires that may be bothering us in our heart, still we should approach the Supreme Lord, we should keep on doing devotional service, and the Lord is so accommodative that he will rectify our enjoying tendency and give the nectar of his lotus feet. Now we'll see that Dhruva Maharaj is like, he was suffering from anger in the beginning of his life, and it's almost coming to the mature stage of his life where again the anger flared up because his brother was killed unfairly by the yakshas. So that's why again the anger came up, and this time also like he used the anger more than required. And we find that the senior authorities, they came and rectified the situation. And Dhruva Maharaj also rectified himself by listening to his seniors. So we'll see that how this anger comes up in our life. What is the definition and what is that gives the birth of an anger? So we see that there is a strong feeling of displeasure, or there is a very aggressive hostility. It comes by the real or the suspected wrong. And then we become frustrated and we respond to this kinds of unresolved problem. So anger means there is a strong displeasure in the heart, or there is very aggressive hostility that comes. Now that hostility may be real hostility, or it could be a suspected one also. It's not like we become angry only when something happens. We have tendency to become angry on anticipation of the things, or our interpretation of certain events, we think like, no, that this must be a person behind the, these things, or certain situation may be behind these things. So we suspect something wrong, and that's how we become angry. So whatever event or a person may be, so our response is the frustration. So there is like a sudden violent displeasure comes in the heart, and there is a strong impulse to retaliate. Anger is something is usually associated with retaliation, that we feel that there is some injustice, something wrong, and we strongly try to retaliate to correct the situation. So what does the scripture say, that how this starts? Where does it start? So it says that whenever you have a material desires, these material desires are not satisfied, it will give birth to the anger. So Gita very clearly says, Dhyato vishyat pumsa sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamat kamat krodo abhijayate. So as a person keep on thinking about the different sense objects, then he develops a strong attachment for them. And then from this attachment, the lust develops. And when the lust is unfulfilled, the anger arises. That's why in the third chapter also, Krishna gives very clear-cut indication to Arjuna. When Arjuna was asking that how come, even while knowing that this certain act is prohibited, we shouldn't be acting in this way, and still we are forced to act in that way. So in that, Lord Krishna replies, the kamaesha krodhaesha rajaguna samudvaha mahashano mahapatma vidhiham vairinam. So vairinam means that it's an eternal enemy of the soul. So it's a lust which comes in the contact with the passion, and then later it transforms into anger, and that is all devouring sinful enemy of this world. So this is what Krishna says, where from anger comes. Anger, clearly it's indicated, comes from the lust. So now generally people interpret the word lust as with the sexual longing. But the Krishna's definition of the lust is that any ungodly desire which by which you want to gratify your senses. So there is excessive attachment to get certain material object, and that is described as the lust. Because Krishna has very clearly described that senses need certain amount of sense gratification. And that's the nature of the senses, that it will go on hankering for different sense object. And that is why the scriptures are saying that we must regulate the senses. And it gives the analogy of a wild horses. The wild horse has got lots of energy and can do so many things. But it has to be directed properly. If you just let the wild horse to do things on its own, it can create a great havoc. But if the wild horse is regulated, it can be used for so many beneficial purposes. So that's why the senses will be craving for the satisfaction. Then mind and intelligence should bring the senses under control. Otherwise, it will lead to frustration and anger. So that's why Krishna gives very clear indication that when the anger comes up, that will be like delusion will come. From delusion, the bewilderment of memory will come. And the memory is bewildered, then human intelligence is lost. And then one tends to behave in a very irrational way. And that's how he downgrades. And now if you see in today's modern world, all of them are going after so many sensual addictions. And that's how we feel, that there's so many people are going after limited resources of this world, and their attempts get frustrated, and then anger comes into picture. And that's why we find that there is so much of violence that is happening in this world. So what we have to understand, that like there is a fever in the body, usually that is the indication of certain disease in the body. So fever is just a symptom of a main disease. So what is the anger? Anger is a symptom of some material hankering. So now, if you want to cure from the fever, and if you just take the treatment of the fever, then the main disease will not be cured, and again the fever will come back. So we have to understand that if we want to deal with the anger in our life, we must deal with the lust. Because the symptom of a lust is anger. And then if you just want to try to do certain superficial way of trying to control the anger, then that will, our attempts will not be successful. Because if you go online, you will find at least 300 books that are dealing with the topic of anger. But how they are trying to deal this anger in a very, very superficial and a temporary way. Only Gita can help us to understand how we can deal with the anger. Because unless you conquer the lust, you will not be able to conquer the anger. And that's what is required. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, reread the story of Prahlad Maharaj. At the same time, like Srimad Bhagavatam is full of people who have conquered the lust, and because of that, they are unaffected by the anger. And we will see the Prahlad Maharaj is one of the foremost examples that is there in Bhagavatam, that how he has controlled the anger. Because Prahlad Maharaj was just a child of 5 years. But he was a self-realized person because of the mercy of Narad Muni. And that is why he had no interest in any of the material things, any gains in this material world. So that is exactly opposite of the lust. And exactly opposite of his atheistic father Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu is just epitome of lust. It just always, whatever he did to satisfy his lust. And then what happened is Hiranyakashipu saw, to fulfill my the lust, the Prahlad is obstacle. Actually Prahlad Maharaj was a very saintly boy, but unfortunately, the Hiranyakashipu, because of his uncontrolled lust, started thinking that he is my enemy and trying to kill him. Now you see, the Prahlad Maharaj has to deal with a person, his own father, who is trying to kill. And still, there is no anger absolutely coming up. For any ordinary person, this is just an impossible. That somebody is trying to kill you in various ways and still there is not a tinge of an anger. Because what happens is the pure soul, they see the whole situation entirely different. Because they know that they are not this body but the spirit soul. And they are completely separate from this material body. And they understand that everybody in this material world is acting according to their own karma. And then they have a full faith that Krishna is orchestrating all these things. And because of that, they have a full faith in Krishna. They know that Krishna will protect them. So the person who is like a self-realized soul, such as Prahlad Maharaj, so they are satisfied, and that's why they don't need to exploit anyone. They don't need to exploit anything. So we can understand that when a person comes under the sway of a lust, his capacity to discriminate is completely lost. So we have to understand that we may be in Krishna consciousness, we are trying to render devotional service, and at the same time we have to keep the precautions. If you don't take the proper precautions, we will be lost to the anger. And that's why the graphic example we see of Ajamil, that he was such a pious person in such a pious yuga, such a pious surroundings. But little lapse, he just gave in to the temptations of his senses, and the whole downgradation happened. So that's why we have to understand that the more person has a controlling tendency, the more person is thinking that I am the proprietor of this material world, I am the master, that much anger will be there. Because we see in this material world, some people are so egocentric. They feel themselves as a doer, and some feel that the sun will not rise unless they get up first. So this kind of a mentality is the responsible for the anger. And we see like now how this anger manifests is because why it's needed for us to understand, because sometimes our behavior is such, we are angry, but still we don't understand that we are angry, we are behaving in a wrong way. So that's why we have to understand what are the symptoms by which we can understand that we have lost control of ourselves. So whenever there is some violence towards a partner, towards a children, or towards other people, so if we are violently thinking about our co-workers or God brothers and God sisters, then we can understand that anger is simply creeping inside our heart. Or we threaten some violence to the people or violence to certain property. Or there is like a great outburst of the rage which involves deliberately breaking something. Then we can understand that we are afflicted by the anger. Another behavior is that when there is a constant arguments with the people who are close to us, that is also indication that anger is entering into our mind. And then many times we feel that we become angry very frequently. That means slowly anger is taking control of our life. That means we need to check that what are the uncontrolled lust that is there, what are the unfulfilled desire that are there, which are acting as a stimulant for this anger. So whenever we see that there will be different stimulating situation that comes in our life which give rise to the anger, is that when someone does some wrong to us, just like when the example of Shrungi is there, Shrungi saw that something wrong is done to his father, so he cursed the Parikshit Maharaj. So we have to understand that even if somebody does something wrong, it's not that we instantly retaliate to that situation. Or sometimes there is some injustice, we feel that the situation has been unfairly treated, and great injustice has been done upon us. And then we see that there is some stimulants for the anger is like harsh speech that comes when our desires remain unfulfilled. That we have certain material hankering, it remains unfulfilled and that flashes into harsh speech. It's just like a Daksha and Shiva episode we saw. The Daksha had a great desire that to be respected. And when his great desire was unfulfilled, immediately he started the harsh speech. Or sometimes there is like the great expectations. If you see the episode of Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni. So Durvas Muni had a lot of expectations that Amrish Maharaj should be waiting for me and he shouldn't do anything till I reach to the where the food is being, prasadam is being served. So he was having a great expectation to be honored as a great guest or reverential person. And he found that there is a small discrepancy in that. He immediately became angry. So what happens is everybody has got a different flashpoint. Just like petroleum has got a very less flashpoint. Anything inflammable, little bit of thing comes in contact with the petroleum, petrol, it will immediately lead to blast. So we have to understand like now what is our flashpoint. Because that flashpoint we have seen in case of Prahlad Maharaj, in spite of such a violent situation, his flashpoint was absolutely intact. No matter how much inflammable situation is there, no matter how much inflammable speech is there, act is there, he was completely self-satisfied. Whereas Duryodhana, he just needed some reason, or sometimes he didn't even need any reason to become angry. Because what was he was lusting for? He was lusting for the opulence of Yudhishthira Maharaj. One thing is like he had, Pandavas had lot of material opulence. So he was envious of that. Then he was envious of that, why Yudhishthira Maharaj is getting so much of respect. I am also from the same Kaurava family. I also can shoot arrows the way he shoots. Now what is the difference between me and him? But he is getting so much of respect and not me. But the thing is that Yudhishthira Maharaj was respected because of his good character and conduct. So if Duryodhana wanted also to be respected, he should have learned the lessons from Yudhishthira Maharaj's life. That how I can improve my character. And then same respect he would have got it. But then what happened is, he gave to his anger. He did not listen to the good advice given to him by Vidura, by Vyasdev, by Lord Krishna himself. But because of the lust, he just could not take it at all. And then we see like now what are the consequences of anger. There is so, in this world we see that because of the anger, so many wars have taken place. If you see in the different communities, so many riots have taken place because of the anger. And usually what happens is the anger leads you to do the things which you normally will not do. So like we have seen in many places in the West, especially, where there is a shooting in the schools, that the people just come with a loaded gun and just kill the innocent children. or hatred towards another religion, and then somebody just comes and plants the bomb and kills the innocent people. So the consequences of anger is always there will be plenty of negative thoughts in the heart. At the same time, like there may be a lifetime relationships in marriage, or there are many incidences where there was a lifelong friendship was there, but because of the anger, it ends in divorce and dissatisfaction. And then at the same time, at the physical level, because of the anger, we suffer from so many diseases like heart diseases, headaches. Some people have digestive problems. Some people suffer from insomnia. So all these things will happen. We have seen a few years back, there was a prince in Nepal. He was emotionally unstable. And what did he do? He just killed all the 9 members of his own family. And the glorious dynasty of a Nepal ended in such a disaster. Then there was like a story of one person. He liked very expensive cars. So he used to work very hard so that he can possess the best model available in automobile. So after years of working hard, he could collect some savings and some loans and purchased a very prestigious car for himself. And then what happens? He was so happy that he has a very expensive car. He would personally clean the car. And then one day while he was cleaning his car, he just sees that his 3-year-old son comes. And then he had something, some instrument in his hand. And he was just scratching that instrument against the car. And that was creating dents on the car. So this father becomes so angry. He just takes up the hammer and bangs it on his fingers. Then he realizes that what he has done. Then he takes his child to the hospital. And then the hospital, when the, his child's fingers are being treated, the child innocently asks, "Will my fingers will grow back again?" Then this man comes back home. He is so disgusted with the act which he has performed, and he shoots himself. So what happens is, anger is the something which we do things for which we have to repent a lot. And sometimes it's a beyond repentance, in the sense what we have seen in this case is that he just ended his own life. So we have to see that unless and until one deals with the problem of lust, he will not be able to deal with the problem of anger. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says that anger is nothing but a pollutant. So Prabhupada used to say that even if there is a provocative situation is there, one should be very tolerant. Because what happens is, once one becomes angry, his whole body becomes polluted. And anger is a product of mode of passion and lust. So the person who is transcendentally situated must check himself from the anger. So we have seen, like when there is episode in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, kills the children of Draupadi. And after that, Arjuna chases him and then eventually binds him with the ropes and he drags it to the feet of Draupadi. So that time there's a description of the Arjuna's eyes, that Arjuna's eyes were red hot like a copper. And Lord Krishna was also very angry, but his eyes are described as the lotus. Though he was angry, but the way his anger was manifested was differently. So that is why we have to see, like sometimes we see the saintly persons, they also curse. But their anger is different. Because what happens is, from that anger, something positive comes up. We have seen Narad Muni cursing Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So in that, though it appears that Narad Muni put them in a situation, it was such a miserable situation of a life of a tree. But what fortune Narad Muni gave him, they became fortunate to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And Lord Krishna personally could deliver them, and they were the recipient of Krishna's causeless mercy. So that's why we have to understand, like whenever the anger comes into our heart, it has to be dealt with in a practical way. And how does sometimes even materialistic are also able to control this feeling of anger if they use their intelligence properly. So there was one industrialist in India, and he was in charge of a very big corporation, owner of big corporation, and he had a very senior executive with him for many years. But one time this senior executive made some decision which brought crores of rupees of loss to the company. So then what happened, that there are several top executives in that company. They were thinking, now the owner will heavily come upon this guy, and probably they were predicting that he will be thrown out of the job. But then what happened is, he was not thrown out of the job. Because what happened is, the owner called him for a discussion to this executive. But before the owner began his discussion, on his notepad, he had made certain list. So the caption on his note was, "The points in favor of this man." So what were the points in favor of this man? He said that he worked for my company for so many years. And then what are the good strength this man has? At the same time in the past, how this man helped company to grow. And because of his certain decision, how the company made huge profits in the past as well. So then what happened is, the top executives saw, other top executives saw that an appropriate understanding was given to this executive. Some framework was designed so that in future, this kind of incidences can be avoided. So what other executives learned from this? That whenever they got a temptation because of certain situation, they said that now we force ourselves to sit down and then we compile a list of the qualities that another person has. And by the time he finishes those lists, do you have a proper perspective of the situation? Or at least our anger is under control. And because of that, like, na, you can save so much of regretting situations. Because what happens is, normally tendency is to immediately jump to the conclusions. And then we do things which we normally don't do when we are angry. So anger means we will do something without thinking on impulse, and then we keep on repenting later. And that's what we have seen that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that whenever somebody would go with complaint about another devotees, how he always dealt with the situation. He always dealt with the situation saying that, yes, I agree that another person has got this kind of shortcomings. At the same time, I would like you to at least tell few good things that another person is doing it. And because of that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was able to put a complaining person in a proper perspective. And when we have a proper perspective, you will try to solve the situation in a proper way and not an impulsive way. So this is what we understand, that we have to control the passion and don't give in to the anger. So we have seen that how the lust in the heart, unfulfilled strong material desires, give rise to the anger. So if you have to deal the enemy of a lust, there is only one way that is available. That's a very simple, but the main way, and that's what is indicated in this verse. So what Kuvera is telling Dhruva Maharaj, that you should be engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord. So when the life's motto is to serve, that is the only way one can save oneself from the enemy of a lust. Because when we serve without any expectation, that service attitude will help us to control the lust in our heart. And when the lust is controlled, automatically anger also will be controlled. So this is giving us a very good instruction, that how the curbing of a lust can be done by rendering unmotivated, uninterrupted service unto the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has created, such a society for us, where ample opportunity of services are available for us. And by engaging ourselves in a different service that is available, we will be able to get rid of lust that is situated in the heart. If we don't go by this method, there is no way one can deal with the anger that comes in one's life. Because in this Kali Yuga, the people's flashpoint is very small. At a slight provocation, there will be quarrels, there will be fights, there will be wars. So that is why we have to turn back to the scriptures and understand that what is the reason that is given in the scriptures. So we have seen that how Dhruva Maharaj was affected by the anger in his childhood, then he was affected by anger at this stage of his life also. But at the same time, always going to the Supreme Lord or taking the instructions from his representatives, he was able to deal with these feelings in the heart. So we get a lot of confidence that no matter what desires that may be there in our heart, no matter whatever conditioning that may be there in our heart, We must know how to sort it out. How that can be sorted out? By approaching the Supreme Lord or approaching His devotees. Those devotees will immediately reciprocate, they will accommodate, and they will try to reduce the disease from its root. As we discussed, that there may be a disease and the fever comes, and if somebody just tries to take some medicines only for the fever and not address the main disease, the fever will keep coming back again and again. So similarly, by taking the shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, we will be able to deal with the enemy of lust. At the same time, we don't have to give up the hopes. We see in this that how the Lord is so reciprocative to Dhruva Maharaj. And by approaching the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj is able to get rid of all the anarthas that are there in his heart. Hare Krishna. So is there any question or comment? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम के श्री प्रभुपाद की